On Mastery. Part 2. Sage Utanka. Several thousand years ago, there was a great war in India described in the epic poem Mahabharata. Although the righteous side won under the guidance of Krishna, there was enormous devastation and loss of life. After the war was over, Krishna returned to his kingdom. On the way through the forest, he met an old friend, a sage named Utanka. Many ascetics perform ancient rituals, which include fasting, prayer, meditation, chanting, and offering sacrifices. Every morning, they offer water to the gods while reciting prayers. This discipline is said to be beneficial for personal liberation and for the world. Ascetics forsake the comforts of mundane life and retire to the forest or mountains, performing these rituals regularly. As a result of their renunciation, they typically acquire special abilities. If they use their powers unrighteously, they fall backward on their path toward liberation. Legends describe ascetics who lost their tempers and cursed someone, whether justified or not, and then had to go off to the mountains to do penance again. Sage Gautama cursed his wife Ahalya, who had to be released by Rama. Sage Durvasa was well known for cursing anyone who didn't feed him and his associates to their satisfaction. A sage doing meditation and penance cursed a girl for throwing some fruit on him to disturb him. She was later born as the monkey Anjana. Sages cursed the monkey Hanuman that he would not know of his powers until someone reminded him. Sage Kindama cursed Pandu for mistakenly killing him and his wife. Sage Vashishta cursed the 8 Vasus to be born as mortals for stealing his cow. Sage Parashurama cursed Karna for masquerading as a Brahmin. Sage Utanka had followed the prescribed practices and kept his vows, strictly obeying the rules of purity of body and mind, for many years. Due to his purity, he recognized that Krishna was divine and had divine powers. Since he lived deep in a desert forest, Utanka didn't know about the Great War. When Krishna arrived, they exchanged news. Utanka was very angry that Krishna had not prevented the war. He blamed Krishna for all the misery, loss, and devastation. He was so angry that he took some water in his palm and told Krishna, "Prepare to receive my curse." Krishna asked him to hold his curse, to listen first and not waste his years of penance. Then Krishna told Utanka all he had done to try to prevent the war. He tried to reason with the cruel, unrighteous side. He traveled to their kingdom on a special peacekeeping mission and offered them an incredible deal. He tried to intimidate them. He showed them his true divine form. But they were arrogant and stubborn. They persisted in waging war against their innocent and righteous brethren. When Utanka heard how Krishna had tried everything in his power to prevent the war, he calmed down and understood that the war was not Krishna's fault, but the fault of proud, unrighteous rulers. He dropped the water and did not issue a curse. Krishna was very happy with Sage Utanka for controlling his temper and wanted to give him a boon. Utanka didn't want anything else. Seeing Krishna was enough for him. But Krishna persisted. Actually, he wanted to reward Utanka with the nectar of immortality. Finally, Utanka asked that he would always be able to obtain water whenever he wished for it. Krishna granted him this boon and then departed. The god Indra had the nectar of immortality. Krishna asked Indra to give the nectar to Sage Utanka when he asked for water. Since humans normally did not qualify for immortality, Indra wanted to test the sage first. Indra would appear to Uttanka in the form of a dirty hunter of an untouchable caste. Krishna thought that Uttanka had attained wisdom and transcended externals and would pass the test, so he agreed. One day, Uttanka did not find water and he thought of Krishna and the boon. Immediately, out of nowhere, a filthy hunter with 5 dogs appeared and offered him water from a skin pouch. Uttanka was a Brahmin. He was not supposed to kill or eat animals or accept anything from someone who did. He was only supposed to eat food cooked by a pure Brahmin. Dogs and hunters were considered lowly and untouchable. In disgust, Uttanka refused the water. The hunter pressed him again and again to take some, but Uttanka became irritated and angry and sent him away. The hunter and his dogs disappeared. Uttanka mentally reproached Krishna for granting him such an inferior boon. Krishna appeared and explained that the hunter was Indra in disguise, and that the water was actually the nectar of immortality. He was sad that in spite of all Uttanka's meditation and discipline, he had failed to see the divinity in the hunter. He had failed to realize the one essence of God, Paramatma, that exists in everyone. He had not achieved equal-mindedness, the goal of his years of spiritual practice. Uttanka realized he had been foolish and arrogant. He resolved to meditate on the indwelling spirit, to realize the ultimate truth that divinity resides in all. This story demonstrates a very important aspect of mastery. Uttanka was adept at the outer practices and even successful in controlling his anger, but he had not reached the goal. He was bound by the very rules of purity by which he had achieved his lofty status and been awarded a vision of Krishna's true form. Steps, rungs, ladders, techniques help us at the beginning, in the middle, and as an expert. They are invaluable. After we have mastered them, we use them as elements of an integrated whole. At the end, one must forsake the very ladder by which one has climbed. All the rungs have been integrated into one's being, and one acts with freedom. It's a whole different world. Like Sage Uttanka, it is very easy to cling to our rungs and be bound by them, since this is how we have achieved our success so far. This is what our dear and venerable teachers have taught us. Yet to achieve mastery, we have to let go. We have to let go of techniques, formulas, procedures, systems, rules, rituals, and especially dogmas and mental constructs, and use them as tools, not as housings within which we are bound. The great laws and systems of nature still remain. It is the human techniques and constructs we must let go.